Now, friends, we come to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah. And many of you will recognize this as the trip that Jeremiah made down to the potter's house. Jeremiah began a method that Ezekiel developed and perfected, and that was to act out the parables that he told. And he did it, in fact, both men did it, to get the attention of the people. It was difficult to get these people hardened in sin, sophisticated, who have now rejected God. It was difficult to get them to listen. And it's difficult today to get many people to listen. I heard the story about the fellow down in my state of Texas, and he had one of these little burros, little donkey, and a friend wanted to ride with him one day, and so the friend got in the wagon and sat down, and this fellow, after he hitched the little donkey up, he went back to the wagon, took out a 2x4, and he went around and hit the donkey on the head and came back, put the 2x4 in the wagon, and this friend sitting in the wagon was absolutely, he was surprised and shocked that this man would just deliberately and for no reason he'd hit this donkey on the head with a 2x4. And he said to him, he said, "That donkey didn't do anything." Says, "Why did you hit him like that?" And he says, "Well, I did that to get his attention." May I say to you, the Lord sometimes has to use extreme methods to get our attention. Now, the Lord Jesus resorted to parables, you will recall. And he used that method that it might reach the heart of folk. And so here is a parable that is acted out. And this man went down to the potter's house. And I preached on this. In fact, I have preached on this chapter quite a few times. I love it. It has a great message, I think. And I thought the first time that I would preach on it that it would be nice to get a potter. And I mentioned it on radio. And a man who's a potter here in Southern California, he volunteered to come in. And he set up his wheel on the lower platform. And while he made a vase there, why, I preached. And you know, that is one of the biggest mistakes I ever made. Nobody listened to me. They watched the potter make that vase. Because it's very impressive to watch a thing like that. So I'm glad I'm not on TV today having somebody make a vase, because I don't think you'd listen at all. So I think radio will maybe be better to tell about the potter. Now I'm reading chapter 18, verse 1. "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, 'Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words.' Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, 'O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? Saith the Lord, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel.'" Now, that is the visit that he made down there. And then he makes application of it to the nation. Now, I'm sure that most of you have seen a potter at work. If you haven't, you ought to. It would really give you a picture of the message that Jeremiah got there that day. I was traveling through Arkansas many years ago, driving, came to a place called Arkadelphia. And there was a pottery plant there. And there were several of us seminary students, so we decided to stop. And we stopped and watched the potters. There were several of them at work in there. And they didn't have the same thing they had in that day. In that day, they had sort of a treadmill outfit whereby you press down on a pedal, and that turned the wheel around, and then the potter could work. Here it was run by electricity, I guess, because the wheel was going around, and all the potter had to do was to make the object. And, of course, that was the main thing. That was what it's all about. And he had very deft hands. In fact, all of them did. And it was amazing how they could take a piece of clay and just in a few moments it'd be a beautiful-looking vase. Or maybe it was a vase. I don't know, but whatever it was very attractive. And there were two things that impressed me as I watched the potter at work was the shapeless heap of ugly mud. And that was about as unattractive as anything I've ever seen. That was certainly something that you couldn't help but notice. And then they had a display room. And the second thing that impressed me was those exquisite vases or vases that they had on display. They were objects of art. And many potters were in there bending over their wheels, intent on the work at hand. And the difference was the potter between that clay and that beautiful vase. Now, the picture here, I think, is quite easy. God made the application. God is the potter. Israel is clay in particular here. But all mankind in general, you and I are clay in the potter's hands. Each individual, let's make it personal, you and I, we are the clay. God is the potter. Now, the figure of the potter and the clay is very impressive and very important. And Paul used it in the New Testament. You go over to the 9th chapter of Romans at verse 21. Let me read that, beginning there. Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? This is a tremendous statement, by the way, and it's pretty hard for a lot of folks to swallow. Now, God is the potter. I think that's quite obvious, and Paul speaks of that. And Paul also speaks of the clay. Over in 2 Timothy 2:21, I read this language. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. A vessel now, pottery vessel. Notice what this potter did. This potter was making a vessel, and it got marred in his hand. It wouldn't yield. The clay has to be just a right texture. And this clay wouldn't yield to him. Maybe it wasn't soft enough. And so it was marred, and he pitched it aside. And what did he do? He picked it up then later, and he made it another kind of a vessel. He did that. Now, what we have here are two things that I want you to notice. One is the power of the potter and the personality of the clay. Now, that's an interesting thing. And then we're going to see the very opposite of that, the personality of the potter and the power of the clay. Now, those sound like paradoxes, but let's look at them first. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, verse 18. For the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his word. They rejected Jeremiah. Why, they said, this man is not saying that which is true at all. The clay has power. And so does the potter, by the way. And in the 19th chapter, why, the Lord told him, verse 1, thus saith the Lord, go and get a potter's earthen bottle, and take of the ancients of the people and the ancients of the priests, and go forth into the valley of the son of Hinnom. And that valley became the place where they cast garbage, but one of the great battles was fought in the valley of Hinnom. He says, now you go there, and you break that bottle. And then you come back. What's the message? God says, that's what I'm going to do to the house of Israel. That's what's going to happen to them. And because he gave this message, this is what happened to the man. Then came Jeremiah from Tophet, where the Lord had sent him to prophesy. He stood in the court of the Lord's house and said to all the people, verse 14, that is, verse 15 now, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Behold, I'll bring upon this city and upon all her towns all the evil that I have pronounced against it, because they've hardened their necks, that they might not hear my words." And so we find because of that message, we'll see that they begin now to persecute Jeremiah. These are the last days of that nation. And this man with a broken heart and eyes filled with tears gave the message to the people. What a prophet, but not popular, never popular, not popular today either.